so we've been doing an awesome series on godly perspective on blank. So we started with health, and then we talked about finances, and last week we talked about relationship. And what we wanted to do is give you guys a really, tackle some practical topics, right? Because those are three things that I think we all deal with in some regard. Three of the major issues that, or major topics in our lives where we either have great things happening or not so great things happening. Some of the major areas of our lives where we probably need some godly clarity as to what God is actually saying on the subject. And I think we stress a lot during the series that, you know, a lot of that comes from actually getting in relationship with God and asking Him questions about those. But then there are some things that are set out for us in the Bible, those topics. I mean, health, maybe not as much, but especially finances and relationship are talked about a whole lot throughout the Bible as well. So, hope you guys enjoyed the practical topics, and it's something that we want to encourage you to keep pressing into as well. The thing that really struck me throughout the series is that really everything did change when Jesus came. And so we do not need to walk in any of the old habits, any of the habits that this world tells us, you know, it's always been like this, nothing's ever going to change, we just have to keep going on. So, you know, like a poverty cycle, for example, that's a really common one. If we're brought up in like a poverty mindset, a poverty environment, that we can just continue in that, saying like, well, this is just the way it's always been, this is the way it's always been for my family, so nothing's going to change, nothing's ever changed, this is just the way it is. But that's such a lie. And that's one of the things that we're really getting at with this series. In case you don't know, we do record most of our teachings and we put them up on the website. So if you weren't there for one of those things, it would definitely be worthwhile to download it. Additionally, you'll notice that we haven't done a lot of ministry time. If you've been here for the past 3 weeks, if you haven't, you won't know. We haven't done a lot of ministry time with these teachings. And one of the reasons for that is that a main reason why we do a practical teaching series like this, addressing some of these things, is that you would actually apply it to your life, right? Not just come in and hear, like, we aren't in, I know we're near universities and we cater to a university crowd. We are not into just the whole, like, lecture for intellectual stimulation's sake, right? That's one of the reasons why we'll do ministry times. It's one of the reasons why we present challenges at the end of a message, is that we would actually go and apply this to our lives. So, if you guys haven't done this yet, I would really encourage, you might be in the middle of exams, or just finishing up some exams, and that's cool to give yourself a bit of leeway there, but once you've gotten through that crazy period, take a bit of time and go back over, if you took some notes, go back over and write out anything that you remember, listen to the recordings, and actually ask yourself, what God do you want to spur in my life out of this teaching? What do you want to grow out of this teaching? What is some way that, like, you personally want to challenge me out of this teaching? So you can do that with all three topics. Like, this is something that I used to always do in my cell group every year, is we would ask God about something that God wanted us to focus on in terms of health in our life. Right? Because it's very easy for us to just kind of take that for granted and, you know, put up with pain in our bodies, for example. When Jesus actually died for that pain, that we don't have to put up with that, that we can actually do something about that. And so that's a place where we open ourselves up and say, okay, Holy Spirit, what is it in my health that you want me to address? And maybe there's something, like I know for me, a couple years ago, I went and I did like a week long of ministry, receiving ministry. And one of the things that God really highlighted during that time was how much I gravitated towards food for comfort. Okay? None of you have ever done that before. But that was something that I did, right? If I was having a bad day, what would I do? I'd go and open the snack cupboard and see what snacks were in there. And the way that, like, you know, I needed some sort of reassurance. And I really, intellectually wise, I don't understand how food really provided that. But it was something that I would continually go to. And I mean, the truth of the matter is that food never provided that. Food never made me actually feel good about myself. It temporarily made me feel good. But it never really provided that comfort, that security that God was meant to provide. So in that place of ministry where I actually recognized that, it was, and that God was saying, look, Jordan, this is something that I want to deal with in your life. Okay, so I prayed about it. I said, like, what should I do? He's like, well, every time you're going to go eat something, like, ask her. Just ask me why you're doing it. Ask Holy Spirit why you're doing this. Why are you eating this? Is it because you're hungry? Or is there another reason behind it? So it was amazing when I started doing that, how few times I was actually hungry. It was actually well below the majority of times. You know, it was occasionally I was eating because I was hungry, and majority of the time I was eating because there was some sort of emotional need inside of me that I needed to have filled. So in that place, I started asking that question every time, and then, like, it's great because one, it would open up a dialogue with Holy Spirit. So I just kind of ask Holy Spirit, why am I eating right now? Why am I hungry right now? And sometimes he'd highlight, well, you just had that difficult interaction with your supervisor and you're feeling kind of worthless right now. And so what you really want to feel is worth. That's what's really missing inside of you, and that's what you'd like to be filled up with, but instead you're filling up with food. And so in that place then, I was able to say, because you know, food, the Holy Spirit is right, food is never going to fill that. And some of you even chuckle at the ridiculousness of the thought. I mean, it really is that I would ever get worth out of eating food. But at the same, so then Holy Spirit would highlight that, and I say, okay, well, what do you want to say to me then, Holy Spirit? And then you just start to speak incredible truth over me, start giving me scripture verses to flip through, and just start reaffirming the worth that God has already spoken over me. So for those of you who haven't heard the testimony before, like that, it was an awesome time because I started dropping weight like left, right, and center. I've been trying for years, and it was pretty cool. So I'm not giving you the weight loss plan, but rather the press into God, because when you follow God's plan, it's going to be the best thing for you. And you know what? The fruit of that is always good. I always say to the guys in my cell group, I'm like, don't pick fruit-oriented goals. So when God... I'm going to explain it, don't worry, if you didn't quite catch that. God challenges us to set goals, oftentimes to look ahead and say, like, okay, where are you going? What are you going after? God frequently will challenge us in that. However, when we set goals, it's important for us not to set them fruit-oriented. So, an example of a fruit-oriented goal would be, my goal is to lose 40 pounds. Okay? That would be a fruit-oriented goal, because that is what I would like to see happen. Right? That is the fruit that I would like to see. However, what we see biblically many times over is that the fruit is according to the root. Right? Is that a fire up concept? It's also, we see it a lot in botany. So whether, if you don't know from the Bible, it also happens in nature. Okay? If the roots are good, the fruit will be good. Right? If you've got terrible roots that are not going into the soil, that are not sucking up nutrients, then no good fruit will come from that. Okay, so when we set fruit-oriented goals, what we're saying is, I would like to see this fruit in my life. That is a great thing. Many times when I go through the process of setting goals in my life, I do say, okay, that's the fruit that I'd like to see in my life. However, the goal is not the fruit, because we can drive ourselves crazy just trying to pursue fruit. But the reality is that fruit is just a byproduct of what's going on. And so when I was asking Holy Spirit, like, Holy Spirit definitely wanted me to lose weight. Okay, that was a major obstacle in my life that was preventing me from just pursuing all sorts of other things that God had for me, was being, like, just too much overweight. And so that was the fruit that the Holy Spirit wanted me to walk in, but really, in order to get there, I needed to address the roots. And the roots had to do with my eating habits, and it took hearing from Holy Spirit to actually address that. Okay? Another thing, moving on, is finances. We talked about that as well. It's the same thing. Finances can be like a major, major stumbling block for us, and it's a place where we really need to open up our hearts to Holy Spirit. You know, finances is such an interesting one because of how closely it's going to be tied to the way that you were raised. Right? If you were raised in a family that had lots of money, one of the things that might have been taught to you or instilled in you is like an incredible security in finances. Right? Families who put a lot of faith in their finances often will pass that on to their children. And that might be something that you, if you were brought up in that, you may not know any other way to look at finances. Likewise, if you're brought up, as I mentioned before, in a poverty mindset, that like money is never going to stay in my hands. It's always just like, it's just such a temporary thing. I don't deserve it. You're never going to be able to use it the way that God intended us to. And so it's very important that we don't take on just our family perspective, but that we actually go to God and say, God, what is your perspective on this? There's a really crazy stat that blew my mind a few years ago, and I don't know if I remember the actual numbers exactly. I think it's something like 90%. 90% of lottery winners, and just Google the stat, okay? Because I'm not saying that it's for sure 90%. It's a ridiculously high amount. 90%, somewhere around there, of lottery winners within 2 years are either back to where they were, more in debt, or dead. Okay? It is an incredibly high amount, and the reason, one of the major reasons being that there's a root, an unhealthy root that says, I don't deserve this. And so as soon as the money comes in, they're doing everything they can to get rid of it because there's a root inside of them. Right? And that's why, even with our finances, so like, we might come up with a fruit-oriented goal of, I would like to be able to buy, you know, X item over here. Or I would like to save up X amount of dollars, right? That would be a fruit-oriented goal, whereas if we actually press in the Holy Spirit and say, like, okay, what do you want to speak to me about finances? The Holy Spirit might highlight, for me, let's just keep up with the personal examples. A thing that I was really asking for was I wanted extra finances to give away. Okay, so that's the fruit that I wanted to see in my life, was I wanted extra money to be able to not just like cover my needs, but to have more than what I needed for my needs to be able to give money away. And so I was asking the Holy Spirit about that, like, this is what I really want, and that was kind of my goal. I'm kind of a balance brain person, but I really like numbers, and so I love to put together budgets and work out exactly how the numbers are going to work out so that I will have extra money. And I was doing all that on my own and kind of felt this nudge of Holy Spirit saying, like, are you willing to do this with me? Are you willing to partner with me in this? And so if Holy Spirit ever asks you that, there's two things. One, yeah. So that's number two. Let's start with number two. Say yes. Number one is that usually that's a sign that you are not currently partnering with Holy Spirit. So take number one as a warning. Okay? Because that's something that I've had to really learn, is that when God asks me if he can be involved in something, my answer is always so readily, oh yes, of course, because I assume that he already is. But anytime he asks me that, I actually stop and say, oh, wait, that's right. You're asking because I haven't involved you. So I involved Holy Spirit in like my budgeting process, and Holy Spirit essentially went deeper than just the numbers on the page and really started challenging me in my giving. You know, a couple weeks ago we had Steve talk about giving, and it was such a good message. Like, I love studying everything that God said in the Bible about giving and what the revelation that he's given to all sorts of preachers now. I love that stuff. And even though I've done a ton of that study, like, Steve still blew me away with some of the things he said. It was amazing. So definitely check out the recording if you weren't here for that. But what Holy Spirit really challenged me to do is give. And he's like, I want you to be a giver. And he was getting, in my life, he was getting at the root of, it doesn't matter how much money I have, the roots that are going on in my life are going to perpetuate. So what Holy Spirit really started highlighting was, if I did not live a lifestyle of giving when I had my like measly 12-hour week at a minimum wage job salary or whatever paycheck, if I didn't live a lifestyle of giving with that, I wouldn't live a lifestyle of giving if I was making millions. Okay, it's because it's the roots that really impact that. The Holy Spirit started challenging me to give and really ask, he put the question back to me, what kind of a giver do you want to be? And I said, like, I heard this testimony once of this couple who felt like God was challenging them to give, because typically what a lot of churches teach is, like, the tithe is 10%, and so 10% of your paycheck is what you give back to the church, what you give back to God, and then 90% is kind of yours to do with it what you will. Well, this couple had felt like God was challenging them that they were meant to live off 10%, and they had a family. Like, it wasn't just the husband and wife, but they had a family. For this family, they were meant to live off 10%, and they were meant to give 90% back as a tithe. And when I first heard that, I'm like, that's really cool. It's such a high level of faith. Like, I really love that. And then I just kind of put that in my back pocket and went away with it. Well, Holy Spirit, when He asked me that, like, what kind of a giver do you want to be? That came to my mind and to my heart, like, right away. I'm like, that's the type of giver that I want to be. And so I was in a tight financial situation at this point. And Holy Spirit said, like, okay, I actually didn't have a job yet. I didn't have a paycheck coming. But the hope was that that would be on the horizon soon. And Holy Spirit, like, really challenged me and said, if you want to be that type of giver, you need to not wait for your circumstances to allow you to, because it's all about trusting in me. Those people who gave, they didn't give it because they were making such a huge salary they could afford to do that. They did it out of a place of trust. That's the same thing I was asking God for. And so He put that challenge to me that when I started getting a paycheck, that I would start tithing now. For me, I felt the number was 80%, which is still, it really financially didn't make any difference. It just happened to be the number I felt the Holy Spirit was saying. And so I went and, like, I tested that with my pastor, and I said, this is what I'm feeling. I know it's crazy. I was totally expecting, he's a very reasonable man and very mathematically minded. I completely expected him to say, like, Jordan, that doesn't sound like wisdom. How about you just give what you can? Something, you know, supportive and encouraging like that. But instead, he said, Jordan, you know, God's challenged you to really crazy things before, and this sounds pretty crazy, so it's probably God, so I think you should do it. Anyway, so, like, I told about two or three people that was what I was going to do, not to brag about it, but so that they could actually keep me accountable when I got a paycheck, that they could say, like, hey, so did you keep up to what God had actually challenged you with? Because there's a reality that oftentimes God will challenge us and stuff, and if there's any moment of waiting in between the challenge and when we actually have to do it, that will be like, what challenge? What are you talking about? I mean, I'm sure that for any of you who were here the past 3 weeks, that God probably brought a moment of revelation during each of the teachings, and I won't guess at statistics, but I'm going to say that it's not 100% of you that actually walked that out after you left the building. Right? I'm just as guilty of that. Okay? So I told a couple people, as soon as I kind of got some people set up to keep me accountable, boom, I got a job. Within 2 weeks, I got my first paycheck, and I actually took that huge step of faith, and it was like the most stretching summer. I specifically felt like God was asking me to do it for a full summer between semesters of school. And I did it. It was like the most stretching summer, and then I came into like my most financially prosperous year, which was really cool because I didn't actually work most of the year, but God just like blessed me left, right, and center with finances, and that was, again, that was the fruit, because what I asked them for, do you guys remember, the original fruit was to be able to have money to give away. And so that started happening. Like, it'd be great because I get like a scholarship or an award or something would come in for exactly the amount that I needed. And I'm like, thank you, God. I'm like, yes, this is great. It covers my need and all that. And then immediately afterwards, it's like the bonus would come in. And I'm like, there we go. This is like totally the heart of God, because God loves to bless. And so every time it's like God would cover my need and then give me more. Cover my need and then give me more. And it's because He's gone after the roots. Okay? I still need pruning. I do, all the time. Like, this is not the goal that we get to perfection. That'll happen once we get to heaven, and it won't happen before. Anyone who tells you otherwise is probably in line with Satan.
It's true.
It minimizes what Jesus did. I say it. People laugh when I'm straightforward about that. But it's true. It minimizes what Jesus did. Okay? It minimizes what Jesus did. If we can ourselves, like even now, if we can just walk out perfection by just listening to a couple things that God says and doing that, it's an ongoing relationship. It's every day of our lives. Okay, so we work, we persevere to a greater and greater Christ-likeness, but we won't really realize the fullness of that until heaven. You guys go back and listen to John Arnott's talk if you want to know more about that. I was flipping to something and I said something about saving the night. I completely forgot what I was flipping to. So
that was probably everything about finances.
Scholarship is in the bonus.
Yeah. No, I remember what I was saying. I just don't remember where I was going. Yeah, okay, so we all still need to be bridged. It's a good point.
Amen.
I still agree with it. And then I talked about relationships. That was fairly fresh last week, and that wasn't, for any of you who weren't here, it was not just romantic relationships. This is just relationships because we are called to be in a relationship with other people. That is somewhere where I continually need God to give me new perspective. Even this week, I was talking with Noelle, and like, we're talking about, do you guys know the scripture? I didn't look it up because I wasn't necessarily planning on doing it. Scripture where Jesus is talking says, somebody slaps you on one side of the face, you turn to your other cheek. Somebody asks you to carry their tunic a mile, you... No, wait, I think I could buy it. They ask you to carry their equipment a mile, you carry it 2 miles. They ask you for your tunic, you give them your shirt as well. Okay. So we were talking about this, and we're kind of like, you know what, like that scripture sort of makes Jesus sound like a sissy, okay? Because we were just talking about relationship and like what you do when somebody comes at you with like basically a negative spirit, right? Whether that manifests physically, whether that manifests in like pushiness or being demanding or controlling or anything like that. When someone comes at you in any sort of negative spirit, like how you respond to that. And it's interesting because this is something I still battle with. Like, I really love people. But people are definitely one of the greatest ways to have your buttons pushed. The more and more relationship you engage in, the more and more you get your buttons pushed. And what's crazy about that is God actually designed us that way. That was what I was talking about last week, is that God actually wants us to live in that tension where we can't do it, where we're constantly getting our buttons pushed, and we're like, I just can't avoid getting my buttons pushed whenever I'm around people. And that God actually wants us to live in that tension because it forces us to rely on Him. So, I'm not going to preach this whole message over again, don't worry. Building up to it, it sounded like I was going there. No, so we're talking about this verse, and we're saying, you know, it kind of makes Jesus sound like a sissy, but we know that He's not. So, like, what are we missing in this? Like, what is the heart of this? And then it's like, I started just kind of like speaking some stuff out to Noelle, and then I realized this is one of the beauties of what Holy Spirit does in my life. Is that oftentimes I'll be speaking to someone and I'll realize after about a sentence what I'm saying is no longer coming from my brain because it's too smart for me. And it's like I don't even understand what I'm saying until it's coming out of my mouth and then it's coming back to me and I'm just like, that is profound. Who just said that? Because it wasn't me. Even though it came out of my mouth. And like, I had a couple of roommates before who have been through this with me, and then my wife goes through this with me frequently, where it's like, I will be preaching to myself, because I'm like, I'm getting the revelation by speaking out to myself. And so I'm like talking to Noelle, and I'm saying this, and I'm like, well, what Jesus isn't saying is be passive, because that's the thing I always struggle with, is like, I don't think we're called to ever be passive in a relationship. And so I'm like, but so many times, what do? Is we just, when somebody like tries to control us, for example, we get aggressive with them. Well, Jesus is clearly saying many times throughout the Bible not to do that, not to get aggressive with someone who's getting aggressive with you. So what I started saying is like Jesus is actually calling us to get aggressive in the opposite spirit, right? We are never called to be passive when somebody in the context of relationship, be it good relationship or bad. When somebody comes against us with a negative spirit, like control or pessimism or anger, like anything like that, we're not called to just be passive and take it. We're actually called to be aggressive in an opposite spirit. So like a spirit of love or a spirit of acceptance or a spirit of freedom, a spirit of peace, a spirit of joy. Like we're actually meant to take initiative when they do that. It's not like being Christ-like is not sitting back and being like, well, I'm just going to take this because that's what Jesus would do. Jesus would actually step it up and He would become aggressive in an opposite spirit. And so it's amazing. I've been doing this whole relationship thing with people for decades now, and that like in the middle of just a conversation, I realized how wrong I've been doing some things. But it took opening that up, even having that dialogue to be able to let Holy Spirit into that place and say, okay, how do you want to give me your perspective? What is your perspective? What can I do to line up more with that, to walk more in that Christ-likeness that we're going after? So you guys just got a great recap and summary. The whole point of it is this. You know, I talked in cell this week about how we get seasons of life where God gives us some grace to look back over kind of what's been going on. We're not meant to constantly be looking over our shoulder and second-guessing everything we've done or anything like that. But there is a godly thing about looking back on kind of what we've come through and saying, God, what is your perspective? What do you want to share with me about, you know, some of these relationships that I've just walked through? Maybe you're coming to a season, especially if you're a student, right? You might be going away for Christmas. You might be leaving some relationships, even if it's just temporarily, but some groups of friends, maybe a romantic relationship, maybe you're going into some relationship with your family that you've been away from for a while. There's a grace in seasons like this to actually go to God and say, God, what is some of your perspective on these dynamics? Right? This can also be like a season, as Betty was saying in her tithe talk, you know, for finances, it can be a season of a lot of stretching. For some people, Christmas can actually be a season of abundance, you know, if you're getting a lot of money from family, or if you're getting bonuses at work and things like that. So it can kind of go either way, but it can be a season where, I mean, for most people, December in the budget looks a little bit different than other months, be it for the better or the worse. And so there's like a grace on that season to say, okay, God, what do you want to speak to me about your perspective when it comes to the way I deal with money? And then the same thing for health as well. I don't know about you, but Christmas, there is definitely a change to my health. Trying to look a little more Santa-like than Christ-like. It's an important time of year. You know, the world does it already. With all their New Year's resolutions and everything like that. We see that all around us. But there's like a godly thing in that, and a grace for a season to say, okay, God, like I'm coming out of a season, going into a season. What perspective do you want to give on like the way that I've been treating my body? The way that I've been like taking care of it or not taking care of it. What perspective do you want to give me? And, you know, something to note about God is that God is not like any person that we know, right? And we may have grown up with people in our lives who are, like, ready to just tell us everything that's wrong with us and that we need to correct. Or we may have grown up with kind of the mindset that there is nothing wrong with us, there's nothing to change, that we have all the perspective we're ever going to need. But, you know, so God won't just come in and bulldoze over everything that's been laid before. He really, really delights, though, in the moments where we actually ask Him and say, you know what, your perspective is important for me. I'm not looking to come in, this isn't a self-help program where, like, I'm looking to just improve, you know, 3 points about my life so that I can be a better person. It's saying, God, I actually really value relationship with you. I really value your perspective. And these are just 3 areas of our lives where we can ask God for specific perspective. But the idea is that we actually take seasons of our lives and intentionally pursue His perspective and say, like, look, I know there's transition. I know that everything in my life is not perfectly and is not going according to your perspective. I know there's some of my own stuff mixed in here, but I really value what you have to say. And so, tonight's challenge is that in this time, you know, it is a major, major season of breaks for people. You know, whether it's a few days off or a couple weeks off, whether you're a student, whether you're working, there's a bit of a change of pace around December. And I find there's a huge grace, as I said, for really asking the Holy Spirit in this season to speak into some of those places. The challenge is that you take that time off that you could use to go and, you know, resort to food, you could go and resort to social time, you could go and resort to watching all the movies that you need to catch up on. You could fill that time with all sorts of things. But if we sing honestly to God, I'm going to climb this mountain with my hand wide open. there's nothing that I'm holding on to, then this season is a season for actually saying, God, I really value what you want to speak to me, and I value that above all the distractions, and I value that above filling up all my time, all my free time with other things. God, I'm actually going to give you the best of my time. I'm going to give you my free time. Free time certainly is not free. So, let's all stand up. We're going to pray a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray it out first. I want you to listen to it. Because basically what we're doing is giving Holy Spirit permission to remind us of this challenge. And He will take you up on it if you are serious. So I don't want you to pray it just because I'm praying it from the front. I want you to pray it if it's something that you actually want to do and you know that you're going to need Holy Spirit to push you in this so that you don't just fill your free time up with other things. So I'm going to pray it, and then I'm going to give you guys the opportunity. Holy Spirit, I give you permission to remind me of this challenge. Holy Spirit, I want to know your perspective. God, I want to know your perspective, and I give you permission to speak that into me in my free time this season. So if you want to pray that, we're going to pray that together. Holy Spirit, I give you permission to remind me of this challenge. Holy Spirit, I want your perspective. God, I want your perspective. And I ask that you would speak that to me in my free time this season. Amen. Guys, do this challenge for real. All right, so we are here again next Sunday. I know that was an abrupt ending. You're all staring at me. It's good. Please fold up your chairs before you go out tonight. Remember to go to Snakes and Lattes to celebrate Christy leaving. Okay, celebrate her being here.